The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor.
You remind me that money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
On ESPN 1300 AM and 92.5 FM.
ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us on this Winger Wednesday, where we salute the greatest, well, using the term greatest very loosely, greatest hair band of the 80s. Well, maybe one of the hair bands of the 80s. Kip Winger and Winger. That's pretty good when you could name a band after yourself. That's pretty good. It's like if I went on and had my own band. Hey, we're going to call ourselves Taylor. Yeah, there you go. It's the band Taylor. No, it's probably not a good idea. Anyway, we thank you for joining us. Apparently, Kenny Skywalker, the man who I heard his... If I had a nickel for every time I heard his name from 1984 to 1986... I would be a bajillionaire, because that's all the people that I knew talked about was Kenny Skywalker, Kenny Skywalker. Now, he's a great player, but he and Alan Cutler are two reasons why, I don't want to say I turned heel on Kentucky, but I saw things for what they were. So yeah, good to see Kenny Skywalker. I was not introduced to him by Cutler, but it was good to see him, and I wish him well, and wish Cutler well, wish everybody well, and yeah. Good day to be around here at ESPN Radio. Cutler brings in these big stars. Yeah. Kenny Skywalker. He was a star. Still is, kind of, sort of. But, yeah. It's probably the best player in college basketball, 1986, his senior year. Probably. So, yeah, that Elite Eight game down in Atlanta against LSU, boy, that was awful for Kentucky. That was a shame. That's awful. Because they had already beaten LSU three times. Ah, don't get me started on this stuff. Because they'll have the Big Blue Nation against me even more than they already are. Follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email the show anytime. BottomLineLex at gmail.com. We also stopped by our good friends at Joseph Beth today. They have been replenished with copies of the book, Side Hustle. And it is out on the best of the bluegrass table. So if you would like to get a copy of that for the sports gambler in your life, Joseph Beth has them right at the front there as you walk in, on display for the whole world to see. Side Hustle, the book by me, Brad Taylor, about sports gambling, how squares like you and me can actually become sharps. Maybe not overnight, but in time, changing the way we think, changing the way we manage our money, and some stories from my childhood in Madison County, being around really bad sports gamblers. And I mean really bad. Anyway, point is, yes, Side Hustle, the book. The systems we use based on the sport, the month of the year, all kinds of things. Make sure to pick up a copy. At Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in person, autographed copies there. I made sure they had some because I took my Sharpie with me. So there you go. Autographed copies at Joseph Beth Bookstore. We just stopped by there today to make sure that they had copies of the book, so we are very happy that they do. For the Christmas holiday, a perfect gift for the sports gambler in your life. If you're tired of seeing them lose, yeah, make sure they pick up a copy of this book. And yeah, don't let them play those 15-team parlays either. Just saying. Also, if you get a copy of the book Side Hustle, go sign up at FanDuel. Use the code Brad1300. FanDuel.com/Brad1300. No sweat parlays this week for Thursday night football. And Lord knows, with the Chargers and the Raiders, you're going to need something to entertain you during that game other than just making fun of Al Michaels all night long. So, yes, no sweat parlays. We say never invest your own money in a parlay, but if they're going to make it a no sweat, in other words, they will make sure that if you put some money on a three-leg parlay, make it as many minimum legs as you can, that you get reimbursed if you lose. A free roll, so to speak. But make sure you get no sweat. Don't do it on your own. That's my advice. Nobody really listens to me when it comes to stuff like that. I'm playing my 18 parlays anyway. I'm betting on Kentucky as a 57.5-point favorite anyway. I get that a lot. That's okay. Don't have to listen to me all the time. But in this case, please listen to me. I know I can change your mind on this stuff. Make sure to sign up at FanDuel. Code BRAD1300. No sweat parlays for tomorrow night. All kinds of offers for the weekend of the NFL as well. And, of course, still the $150 in bonus bets with your first $5 moneyline wager. Safe, secure, easy to use. I was on it today. I've been on it every day since September 28th. So should you. FanDuel.com/Brad1300. The best in the business. An official partner of the National Football League. On today's show, what's going on with this Kentucky-North Carolina game? And should we actually believe that this is a historical rivalry? We'll talk about Kentucky basketball to lead things off. We'll also talk about Kentucky football. We're kind of in a very dark period in terms of, you know, just having stuff to talk about. Yeah, we got transfer portals. We've got all kinds of good fun stuff when it comes to that. But some of us are just worried about bowl games. We got bowl games Saturday. There's a few favorites that we like in these bowl games Saturday. There's plenty of these bowl games. We like a couple dogs, but we like about three favorites in these games. We went over those yesterday. We'll briefly go over them today. By the way, there's a bowl game next Monday afternoon, the 18th. Western Kentucky and Old Dominion. You've seen a big line change in that one, too. We might touch on that. That is not good news for the home state team. We will also talk about the Bengals. Is it time to maybe, we've got news out of Minnesota who their starting quarterback is next week, and the line has really not changed a whole lot. Why has that happened? We will discuss how that line dropped towards Minnesota based on quarterback news that you wouldn't expect, especially based on historical data. Makes me kind of question the home team here in this one. We'll talk about that from a handicapping perspective. We will also talk about the day in college basketball. It is a lousy week, midweek here, folks, for college basketball. Lousy, if you're looking at some of these games. Yes, there are four ranked games tonight, four games involving ranked teams, but they're all cupcake games. Three of them are cupcake games with a double-digit line. All of them have double-digit point spreads. But one game sticks out, and if you're a loyal listener to this show, the old NCU. We're going with one of those tonight. We will tell you which one in our Mac Daddy Stogie segment, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. We'll also look at some college football bowls other than Kentucky and Clemson. Where's the money going? And who are the most popular teams so far in these bowls? And we see a lot of double-digit favorites. What does history say about double-digit favorites in bowl games? And who are the best coaches against the spread in bowl games? The answer might not be a happy one for the Big Blue Nation. We'll just put it that way. Of course, all this and much, much more coming up. We also have the story of a very greedy gambler who's now busted. A lesson in greed in sports gambling. And I've actually talked about this before, not this particular instance, but you know, when you have something that you're taking advantage of, you can't make it to where you get noticed easily. It's very easily to get caught up in the money, caught up in the greed and the numbers. But if you just kind of slow your roll a little bit, you can do it for a long time. But there's an instance of one person down in Florida today that might regret his decision. And regret not listening to this show or reading our book, Side Hustle. We'll talk about him later in the show, too. All this and much, much more coming up on this week's Winger Wednesday edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. As always, we thank you so much for taking time out of your day. We are now 12 days from Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas are here, kind of, sort of. Are you ready? I'm ready because all those bowl games, a lot of them pre-empt this show during Christmas week. I mean, I'm sorry. That's a shame. We will find some way to get on ESPN Radio during that week, but our show will be preempted and bumped quite a bit, including the day that Kentucky and Clemson's bowl takes place because they're playing right during this game. Is it a noon start that day? It is. The 29th is a noon start for Kentucky at Clemson. So, yeah, that'll be a Friday. So, yeah, we're bumped a lot during Christmas week. So, let's get these bowl games. Let's get these out of the way. Get some trends and action. Actionable information. But first, we've got controversy. Not really. Kentucky and North Carolina basketball. Good article today by John Clay and the at Kentucky.com, at the Herald Leader, Lexington Herald Leader. Good article. Headline: the five best wins for each program in the Kentucky versus North Carolina basketball rivalry. You'd think these teams would have played a little bit more in the postseason. They haven't. They haven't really played a whole lot of times. A lot of us remember 2017 when Kentucky had a really good team. So did North Carolina. Those were probably two of the best teams in the nation that year. There's a 1-2 game going into the regional final. North Carolina won on a last-second shot after a very close game going down the stretch. That's a good one. Another one was back in when Cal won in 2011 with Kentucky in the tournament. So back and forth. I think North Carolina's had some better postseason success against North Carolina. I go back to the Patino year, was it 95, when they lost in the Elite Eight. Kentucky was favored. And I want to say that was Roderick Rhodes' kind of swan song for his Kentucky career. And Kentucky just got outclassed that day down in Birmingham. I'll never forget that game. That was a double-digit win for North Carolina. And Kentucky was favored that night. Well, they were number one seed. They were favored to win the tournament, and they didn't make the Final Four that year. That changed a lot of things. And usually what you see, especially in college basketball now, when you see a team have a really disappointing loss one year, they often come back. Kentucky, that year, hugely disappointing loss when they were favored, came back, won two of the next three, should have won the next three championships in a row. I will agree with that, Big Blue Nation. 97, you should have had that one too. That's another story. Virginia, a few years ago, when they lost first round, then they became national champions. Purdue is a very good prospect for that this year. If you're looking for a future, that's neither here nor there. But a big rivalry getting back started coming this weekend. And we talk about North Carolina and Kentucky, the Blue Bloods, right? They are the Blue Blood teams. But our friends at sportsreference.com, I go to their site every day. Whether it's baseball, football, NBA, college, you name it. I go to Sports Reference every day. And they came out this yesterday with their most viewed team pages by state this year. And, of course, for college basketball, Kentucky was the number one team to be viewed by all the states. But look at all these other states. From Alaska to California to Montana, Texas, Florida, Maine. I mean, everywhere. Even Tennessee had more looks to the Kentucky homepage, team page, than they did to their own beloved Tennessee Vols. Living in Georgia and Atlanta all the years that I did. Oh, I know Kentucky's a much bigger college basketball team there than Georgia or Georgia Tech combined, even in the salad days of Georgia Tech, early 90s. But it just tells you that Kentucky is America's team. Are they America's team? It feels like they are. They've got the coach. They've got the name brand. They've got the reason that they're polarizing. Because with Cal, you either love him or you hate him. Even in the Big Blue Nation, they either love him or they hate him. And that's the way it goes everywhere. And now we look at Kentucky. Yeah, all these states, I'm not going to count how many states, but looks like about half the states of the Union. More people went to the Kentucky team page on sportsreference.com than any other. So it just tells you the widespread reach of the Big Blue Nation, first of all, and just the fact that Kentucky moves the meter and they're polarizing. It's not like Kentucky was a great team last year. It's not like they were, in the Final Four. The only state that North Carolina led the nation in team page views was, of course, North Carolina. They didn't expand beyond. By the way, I don't even see Duke on this list at all. But anyway, you would think a blue blood like Duke would have it. Kansas, only in Kansas were they the most popular. So it kind of tells you the widespread popularity of Kentucky basketball and how people are interested and how when people leave the Big Blue Nation, they still are interested in it as much as maybe they're not in other spots. But the Big Blue Nation today, Here's a headline from the fanboys. Joe Lunardi won't move Kentucky off the sixth seed line. Do you hear how that's kind of spewed out? He won't move Kentucky, as if he should move them, but he refuses. Kind of like Moses going to, you know, the Pharaoh and saying, let our people go. No. Yeah, he refuses. Never. No. We'll just win some games of value other than Miami, which we have documented on this show might be a little fraudulent if you look at their numbers. Anyway, another headline from the fanboys. North Carolina, is it a must-win game for Kentucky? Aren't they all must-win games, you'd think? With this fan base, you'd think, yes, it's a must-win game. Of course, we talked about yesterday. Hubert Davis, not exactly a cash machine, a cash cow at North Carolina. This year, North Carolina 7-2 straight up, but they're 4-5 against the spread. And in his career at North Carolina, Hubert Davis, 6-11 against the spread against ranked teams. That includes a huge loss 2 years ago out in Las Vegas to Kentucky, the COVID year, where North Carolina almost canceled before they left to go out there. And I think they were kind of a last-minute substitute, if I remember correctly. I don't have I don't remember that completely. But I know that Kentucky and North Carolina, yeah, it was not even a contest. You wondered if Hubert Davis was in over his head. Got a few breaks, beat Duke a couple times, boom, you're playing for the national championship, and that saves your job. But still, Hubert Davis has lost more games than he has won against the number, against this point spread, in his days at North Carolina, including that absolute thrashing to Kentucky by almost 40 points 2 years ago. But of course, we talked about the kind of the hubbub about North Carolina, Kentucky. Another headline, quoting from a Kentucky coach, North Carolina is a really good team. Oh, thank you. Another news, water is wet. Our good friend Ken Pomeroy has changed his prediction on this game, and it's not good news for Kentucky. As we started earlier in the week, we stated this. He said it was 84-83. Now, today, I look at this number, the projection. He says it's 85-83 in favor of North Carolina. We see North Carolina being a very small favorite in this game, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Sharps or the Big Blue Nation or both come in and make Kentucky a favorite by the time this game tips. But I'm still thinking that North Carolina is a small favorite as we get close to game time. But I do have some bad news for the Big Blue Nation. And it's a little stat. You can call it random. You can call it whatever you want. Since 2004, that's 20 years, every college basketball national champion has been ranked in the top 12 in the Week 6 AP poll. This is from our friends at Action Colleges. The odds to win right now among the top 12 teams, well, Arizona and Purdue are your favorites right now. About 10-1 all these places. Go on down the line. Wait a minute. Kentucky's not in the top 12. So that's not good news. North Carolina is in the top 12. They're 30-1. They have worse odds than Kentucky does right now. About 26-1 from our friends at FanDuel. So in other words, as we look at this today, if you follow that little kind of, I don't want to say it's a system. It's not a system at all. It's just a happenstance. The last 20 years, every national champion has been ranked in the top 12 by week 6 of the AP poll. But Kentucky's not there this year. So, there you go. If you're not a believer, well, there's something to back you up. But Jay Billis has chimed in on this team. And, of course, we all pay attention to Jay Billis, right? He is a dookie through and through when he says something bad about Kentucky. But no, he says Reed Shepherd is the freshman standout. He's Kentucky's most complete player. And the player the efficiency numbers back that up. He's one of the top 15 players in America, according to the KenPom system. And his offensive rating, right up there at the top, he is a top 10 player in America offense, according to KenPom efficiency ratings. So we've detailed the fact that North Carolina doesn't do well on Hubert Davis against the spread. And they're probably going to be a small favorite when this thing opens Friday. Be very interested. This line will probably up probably be up by the time we come on the air Friday. So we're looking forward to seeing this line and how it moves, how the early sharp money, how it comes in, because I would suspect that the early sharp money would come in on Kentucky here. That's just me. That's reading tea leaves the way I'm trying to in this little market data-driven thing that we're doing here. So as we go forward to this Saturday, yeah, we all know about Cal in these games. He does well against the point spread against ranked teams. Does well until we get to the Elite Eight round of the NCAA tournament, but that's down the line. You got to get there first, right? So, Saturday, we heard that our friends here from ESPN Radio, Todd Lanter, Cash Daniel, they'll be driving to Atlanta. Why they didn't invite me, a former Atlanta resident for 20-something years, I'm not sure why, but we'll get on their case about that. Then again, I think there might be a brawl in that car before the end of the time. What? Anyway, roll down that window. Anyway, we're looking forward to this game Saturday. Don't forget that we'll have ESPN pregame live coming up this Saturday afternoon, 4:00, over at the Quarter Bar at Lex Live across the street from Rupp Arena. They will be ready to roll, and so will we. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. That's 4:30 Saturday afternoon. I apologize. I just found the paper here in front of us. Coming up after the break, what are we looking at in these bowl games? Where is the money going? Do we have any more opt-outs for Kentucky Clemson? Maybe. Maybe not. And why is this line kind of doing what it's doing? We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Bengals. Might have the best pass rusher in the history of the franchise, but it might not help them this week because a certain quarterback change has changed this line in a shocking way. Kind of made us raise our eyebrows. We'll talk about the rest of the NFL, college football, and yes, we will find a college basketball game tonight that we will discuss along with that guy from the Jaguars who stole $22 million. Why did you do that much? We'll talk about all these stuff and coming up, ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor on ESPN 1300 AM and 92.5 FM.
Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Thanks for joining us on this Winger Wednesday. You want to feel old? Remember the movie Jerry Maguire? Show Me the Money? Released today, 27 years ago, 1996. Good Lord. 27 years ago. Didn't Cuba Gooding Jr. win an Oscar for that? He did. What's he done since then? Ooh, he's done a few bad things. Look at his Wikipedia page. He hasn't been a very nice guy. Neither here nor there. By the way, before we get out of college basketball until the end of the show, we've got a very, very competitive game tonight. Louisville is playing. And who are they playing tonight? They're playing Arkansas State, number 176 versus number 197 in the KenPom ratings. Oh, goody. KenPom says Louisville wins that game by 5 points. The desert says Louisville wins by 3.5. Oh, there you go. There you go, Cardinal Nation. There's your KenPom seal of approval. Yeah, I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. You trust Louisville to win a game like that by more than 3.5? I don't. Unless Diddy Crum came back from the great beyond. Rest in peace. Maybe Daryl Griffith. The McRae brothers. The good old days. You know, Never Nervous Purvis Ellison. Yeah. I get worried so much, even Never Nervous Purvis Ellison gets worried. But anyway, the good old days of Louisville basketball. Oh, they can come back. Well, maybe not with this coach. That's another story for another day. We'll talk a little bit about college basketball and a good old NCU we like tonight. We'll talk about those later. We'll also talk a little college football right now. We talked yesterday. Opt-outs for Clemson. Bo Collins, receiver, 510 yards on the year. Jeremiah Trotter, Jr., led team in tackles and sacks. Hey, he's opted out. Two guys with almost 30 tackles each. Three guys with 30 tackles each. They're all out. And Kentucky only has Keaton Wade out. We'll see if Ray Davis plays. There's something tells me that we haven't heard the end of some of these guys that have opted out or transferring, but yet they'll play in the bowl game. That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, but that's neither here nor there. The line for Kentucky football in this game on the 29th at noon, still sitting at 5.5. Total still sitting 46.5. But the public, as we have detailed, this is one of the most lopsided games in the entire bowl season in terms of tickets and money. 80% of tickets, 90% of money is in on Kentucky getting the 5.5. That's why you've seen this line go from 7 to 5.5 for Kentucky. You know, if you wanted Kentucky, this is one of the times, hey, we always say take the favorites early, dogs late. During bowl season, this is wild, wild west. Anything can happen, and anything usually does happen to these point spreads. We love dog to favorite line moves, that kind of thing. We'll talk about more bowl games as we get closer. We talked about a couple of favorites, three favorites for this Saturday that we really liked from a handicapping perspective. For this Saturday's bowl games, six bowl games this Saturday, you can kind of put the tea leaves together. If we didn't like a favorite, we kind of like the dog. We're just waiting on those. See if we can get some extra value. We will talk about bowls as we get closer to them, the individual bowls. But as we're looking at some teams right now that are getting a lot of action, who are the best coaches right now in college football against the point spread in these bowl games? We talked about it. Dabo Swinney, 12-7. It's 19 bowl/playoff games for him. That's a bunch. Our guy, Mike Gundy. Never bet against Mike Gundy. They're playing Texas A&M. Love it. Love it. Love to see Oklahoma State playing in a bowl game. And, yeah, they're getting three here. That line started 4.5. What's another reason to like Oklahoma State in that bowl game? Looking at Brad Powers found this out for us. Top 200 transfers, prospects, that are currently in the transfer portal. Texas A&M has 10 current players that were ranked in the top 200 players in America that are now in the transfer portal. Wow, that's a lot. 10 guys that were in the top 200. Kentucky doesn't have any, I don't think. But anyway, Clemson has 4. So that should tell you something right there. Texas A&M, Notre Dame has 8. Georgia has 7. So there you go. You notice none of the playoff teams have any. What a shocker. There's also, so Mike Gundy, 11-6. Against the bowl in the against the spread in these bowl games, one of our favorites. Also, do you have the patience to follow Kirk Ferentz? I don't, but he's 9-5 against the spread in bowl games with one push. No, that push was against Kentucky 2 years ago, not last year. So yeah. By the way, Hugh Freeze 7-1 in those games. Yikes, that's pretty good. Anyway, how about some props? Let's look at conference to have the most bowl wins this season. Who's favorite here? Oh, you got to say SEC, right? Oh, one of the Power Fives, Big Ten, Pac-12. No, the Sun Belt. They have basically their entire roster of teams. They're all in these games. You know, because they all wind up about 6-6, and they get to fill in these bowls at the very beginning. They are even money to lead all conferences in bowl wins this postseason. That's crazy. The Sun Belt. The next conference is the Big 12 plus 350, SEC plus 475, ACC is 5-1, Big 10 14-1. So and that should tell you quite a bit right there. Pac-12 also 14-1. So you think off the top of your head, oh yeah, this is easy. SEC always wins the bowl games. Yeah, they do. But the Sun Belt is the odds-on favorite, even money to get the most bowls wins this postseason. Where's the public money going right now? Who is the public teams in these games? Oh, it's got to be Alabama, right? Well, they're up there. LSU is getting more money than anybody right now, and they're a 9-point favorite. Keep in mind that number 9. We're going to talk about that in a second. Oregon is a 17.5-point favorite. They're getting 78% of the money in the desert. SMU, they're an 11-point favorite. Georgia, a 14-point favorite. Those are all the teams getting the most money out in the desert. So of the top 5 teams in getting the most money, 4 of them are double-digit favorites. How do double-digit favorites do in bowl games? I'm glad you asked, young grasshopper. In the past 10 years, double-digit favorites in bowl games against the spread, 39%. 23 up, 36 down. There you go. Public loves the big favorites in these bowl games, but historical data tells us no. Go against these big money, big double-digit favorites in these bowl games because history tells us 39% of the time, you're right every time. That means 61% of the time, you're on the bad side. So, yes, double-digit favorites in bowl games, and there are a few this year. There are Texas San Antonio, South Alabama, Kansas, SMU, Georgia. LSU is right there on the precipice. Oregon, they're all double-digit favorites. History says take the dogs in those games, and I can promise you, we're going to be on a lot of those dogs as we get closer to these games. We will discuss them from a handicapping perspective because, well, let's just face it, the bowls are their own entity. They're nothing like regular season games. They're not even like we used to kind of compare it to the NCAA basketball tournament. No. In the NCAA basketball tournament, everybody, there's no opt-outs. There's no coaches already leaving town. There's no assistants that take over unless you're Steve Fisher, 1989 Michigan. There's no none of those. In these bowl games, who's happy to be there? Who's not happy? Who had a good season? Who failed to live up to expectations? There's so much different psychology in these bowl games. And let's just face it, war of attrition. So, yeah, this is a it's a much different animal, these bowl games. I say tread lightly until you find ones that you really feel good about. So that's how we look at bowl games. From a handicapping perspective, we will have much more. And we'll have countless numbers of bowl games here on ESPN Radio, including we're going to have a bowl game this Saturday, Georgia Southern and Ohio. We've already gone on record. We don't like a lot of favorites, but we're going to lay the points with Georgia Southern against Ohio. They're sitting right now as a 3.5-point favorite. I've already kind of taken Georgia Southern. We talked about that yesterday. That's going to be the first of, 41 bowl games this year? Yeah, have fun with those. Get your, I know ESPN has that big bowl contest where you can put your preference on, like, if you really like one, you can put 41 points on it. If you don't, you can put one. Yeah, that's a good contest for fun. Slaps and tickles, as we like to say. The NFL. The Bengals, Trey Hendrickson, 13.5 sacks. He is a sack short of the all-time Bengals record for sacks, which is 14 that Trey Hendrickson set in 2021. Yes. When you think of Bengals, you don't really think of edge pass rushers, do you? You know, the LT, Lawrence Taylor types. You don't think of defensive ends, you know, like Bruce Smith. You don't think of guys like that who piled up a lot of sacks. You think of 3-4 defenses, and when they blitz, they might get you, that kind of thing. Unless you think of Justin Smith, who was a number 4 overall draft pick of the Bengals, gosh, about 20 years ago now. He played for the Bengals 7 years, no Pro Bowls, and the Bengals were like, you're too overpaid for us. Why don't you go somewhere else? Well, he goes to the 49ers, plays 6 years for the 49ers, 5 Pro Bowls, 2 years, he's a second-team All-Pro. 1 year, he's a first-team All-Pro. It's all about where you land. If Akili Smith, when he got drafted, I don't think he would have succeeded anywhere, but he would have had a heck of a lot better chance if he landed somewhere else than Cincinnati. Kind of like Tom Brady. If he landed somewhere besides New England, let's say he landed in Cincinnati back in 2000. Yeah. Do you think he goes on and wins 6 Super Bowls with the Bengals? I don't think so. Just a hunch. The NFL is so much about all where you land. So, the Vikings name a new starting quarterback. His name is Nick Mullins. Where have I heard that name before? Oh, yeah. He started 17 games in his career. His point spread in those games, his record against the spread, 6-11. But he's starting for the Vikings next week, mainly because Josh Dobbs, the magic ended very quickly. He was a cool guy to pick up in your fantasy league 1 week. Now he's getting dropped like third period French the next week. By the way, the Vikings right now started at 3.5 points as a dog yesterday before this news came out. And now most places, the Vikings are a 3-point underdog against the Bengals come Saturday. Nick Mullins versus Jake Browning. Huh. Well, you mean to tell me that Nick Mullins is that good? We got a big time reverse line move in this game because we see majority of the money is on the Bengals here. And we also see this line has moved towards Minnesota. This reeks of value for the Vikings. A little bit of steam move here based on the news of Nick Mullins and the old reverse line move. As of now, sorry, Bengal Nation, this is a spot I'll take the three. I wish I could have taken the 3.5, but I'll take the three with the Vikings here. As of now, a lot could change between now and Saturday in the NFL, and that's the bottom line when it comes to the Bengals. Some other NFL notes. Patriots, we hear the buzz that Bill Belichick is going to not be a Patriots coach after this year, which, in my opinion, is crazy talk, but you can't talk these owners down off the ledge sometimes. They are 3-10. They have been eliminated from the playoffs. Before the season started, these future bets, the Pats had 90% of the action was on them to make the postseason, if you can believe that. They are currently a big underdog against Kansas City this weekend. Bailey Zappe already started. Apparently, Mac Jones is done in New England. Of course, Bailey Zappe hasn't been much better the last couple of weeks. Chiefs are a 9.5-point road favorite at New England this week. Only the second time that New England has been a home dog of 9 or more. The other time, 2001. That was Tom Brady's first start against the Colts. They were 11.5-point dogs to Peyton Manning of the Colts. And New England won that game 44-13. Peyton Manning didn't know what was going to happen then. He learned quickly thereafter. So there you go. We talk about the Bengals and the Vikings. A Saturday game. We like it when the NFL takes over Saturdays in December. But here's something that you could put some stock behind, but I don't really think a whole lot. Saturday games. Road teams. Short week, kind of different. You're not playing on Sunday, but you're not playing on Thursday either. It's the kind of thing where, a trend is a trend, a system is a system. Road teams on Saturday games, 62-38 against the spread, 62% in an even 100-game sample size. You're looking at these road dogs on Saturday, Vikings, 3-point dogs at the Bengals, Steelers, 2.5-point dogs at Indianapolis, Denver, 5.5-point dogs at Detroit. Would I take all three road dogs there and hope I could get 2 out of 3? Absolutely. Not because history tells us, but, maybe because history tells us. So there you go. Also, teams in these spots, the double-digit road favorites this year, since 2003, double-digit road favorites, only 42%. And we look at the 49ers are 13.5-point favorites against the Cardinals this week. That's something I don't want any part of, being and laying 2 touchdowns on the road, Niners at Cardinals. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Also, the Circa Survivor Contest. Here is a philosophical question. We talked about this yesterday. Over 9,600 entries at $1,000 a pop. That means they got $9.6 million if there's one winner. Well, there are 13 players left in this. Would you opt out? Would you try to get maybe cut it off and split it? Because you get like 700 and something thousand if all of you kind of split the pot. Oh, I'd totally split the pot. You're going to give me 700-something thousand for 1,000. But, here's the thing. Of all those 13 people, there's a few of them that think, I'm going to beat you. So, yeah, I'd totally opt out. You're going to give me a 700-something thousand for a $1,000 buy-in? I'll take it. But they're trying to get together to see if they can opt out. But they'll never be able to do it. It's too many people. And there's too many egos that will say, oh, no, I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. In a Circa Survivor contest, let's try to slow our roll here. We got a game tomorrow night in the NFL. Easton Stick is your starting quarterback. Did you ever think that you'd hear that name on the radio? Probably not. But the Chargers, currently 3-point dogs at Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders. There is two quarterbacks all of us took in our fantasy leagues back in August, right? Easton Stick and Aiden O'Connell. Look ahead line for this last week. Chargers were 2.5-point favorites, total 47.5. This week, Raiders are 3-point favorites. and the total is 34, if you can believe that. Right now, I'm leaning Chargers. Because, I mean, yeah, it's Easton Stick. But still, division road dog, Patrick Ewing theory maybe, with no more Justin Herbert for the Chargers. Their season's basically done. Their coach is basically done. Almost smells like the perfect opportunity to take the Chargers for me. We'll talk a lot more about this game tomorrow here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, we'll try to find a college basketball game tonight that we like from a handicapping perspective. Lots of lousy, huge point spreads tonight. We don't like those. But there's one game that we like the total in. And if you follow this show, you probably can figure it out if you just do a little homework. That's coming up next. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Here on Classic Rock 92.1. Oh, wait. I was doing my Beer Man, Dead Air Dennis Dillon impression there. Then again, they laughed at my Winger Wednesday idea. Of course, they laugh at a lot of my ideas. You know, they should probably listen to me. What do I know? I watched MTV when I was a kid. I know nothing. No wonder they laugh at me. I'd laugh at me, too. Then again, everybody around here laughs at me, especially limping around like I am right now. By the way, nobody's really helping me around here get ready for my show. Although someone, hey, Brad, can I help you carry your stuff? I'd already sat down. Oh, well, thanks. Why didn't you hit me about 90 seconds ago when I was making that big walk, carrying all this stuff on my little foot here? I'm exaggerating. I'm fine. I know Miss Judy's listening. What? You can't walk? No, I'm fine. Miss Judy, I am fine. I get around just about as well as I did before. Before we get into tonight in college basketball, I'm going to go enroll. Can we go enroll in Colorado? There is a new elective course named after Deion Sanders. It's called Primetime Public Performance and Leadership. There you go. Ironically, it's 4021. He was number 21. Get it? Yeah, that's the name of the course. So, yeah, I need to enroll in that. Primetime Public Performance and Leadership. I need to take that class. I need to learn how to lead and be a public performer in prime time, just like Deion back in the day in the ATL. Anyway, let's get to this guy from Jacksonville. Former, now, Jacksonville Jaguars employee accused of embezzling over $22 million. And the suspect says he has a gambling addiction. And that's the reason why he stole all the money. He misappropriated funds, and he spent them mostly on daily fantasy sports, travel, luxury items, but mostly daily fantasy sports and sports gambling. And according to the places where he was investing his money, so to speak, he was a high-stakes, high-volume daily fantasy player who was known for loose play and rookie mistakes, you don't say. And according to one employee of one of the sportsbook apps, quote, he was legendarily bad. Sounds like he was playing some fanboy parlays, if you ask me. He must have been putting all kinds of money on those parlays that the fanboys across town were putting out there. What? Did I say that out loud? Yes. Just because you know sports, here's a guy who works for a team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Just because you work for the team doesn't mean you know football. And this is what I try to tell people all the time. Just because you know sports doesn't mean you're going to be good at sports gambling. Sports gambling is an art form. It is an entity all to itself. And you can know all the history of sports all the way back to whenever. But it doesn't matter when it comes to actually trying to make money on sports. It is a whole different ballgame. Just like on I talk this all the time. The Jeopardy contestants who can't bet to save their lives on the Daily Double and at the end of games. Yeah, they make sometimes, and it costs them games because they can't wager the right amounts of money during those times that they have a choice of what they can wager. Has nothing to do with how smart they are. They can know all the answers. But if they can't wager those questions right, that gets them in trouble. I'm just saying. Part of the book, side hustle. College basketball tonight. Here's an interesting game. Eastern Kentucky, 4-4 on the year, but let's see who they've played and defeated. Division I teams that they've defeated this year. Troy, that's it. They only won that game by 1 point. It was in Richmond. The other three games they have won are teams you've never heard of. West Virginia, Tech, Wilberforce. I'm going to be honest. I don't know Wilberforce. Ed Bethany, West Virginia. I've known ladies named Bethany in the past. That's neither here nor there. So one win against a team that they could actually make the NCAA tournament. Why are they losing? Teams are hitting 45.7 three-pointers against them this year. The worst in all of college basketball. Yep, that'll do it. But they play tonight against Louisiana in Louisiana. KenPom says this is a six-point game. But look at where the line has gone here. Louisiana opened a five-point favorite. Sharp money all over Eastern here. Louisiana now only a two-point favorite. This is a definite sharp move to Eastern. So, if you do it like we do it, follow markets, follow betting data, betting splits. Sharp action is on Eastern here. Not saying it's a Mac Daddy Stogie, but yeah. Eastern getting a lot of good plays. 60% of the tickets, 80% of the money on the Colonels down in Louisiana tonight. Total's gone from 147.5 up to 151.5. Those are sharp moves. Colonels and over. Just saying. What about tonight? Oh, what happened to Tennessee last night? Well, they're up almost 30 at halftime. And as Rick Barnes does, tanks in the second half. So, do we survive in advance tonight? You absolutely are right. Look at these top 25 games. Florida Atlantic, 23.5 point favorite. Northwestern, 24.5 point favorite. Mark Pope and BYU, 27.5 point favorite. Ugh, I don't want to play those. Number 8, Creighton, is playing UNLV. But they're not playing on UNLV's home court in Las Vegas. They're playing in Henderson, Nevada, at the Dollar Loan Center. Dollar Loan. Is that where you get your checks early? I don't know. Neutral court unders. Total here is 150.5. KenPom says this line is a little high. In fact, KenPom also says this is a 148 game, 82-66. Also, we have seen this total here actually kind of stay right about the same where it opened, although we see the public is on the over here. I'm taking under. Neutral court unders. If you do nothing but just take neutral court unders in the last 20 years, in a sample size of over 9,000 games, you've hit 53%. That's a lot considering 9,000 games. But when you see neutral court unders and you see them 145 or more, there you go. Now let's take the under. It hits 55% of the time. The magic number for the neutral court unders. 145. You see a total higher than that, go under. 55% of the time in a sample size of over 2,000 games in the last 20 years. It's pretty good. It's a big money maker. We're taking the under tonight. Creighton and UNLV under 150.5. There's your Mac Daddy Stogie, because if you look at the rest of the schedule tonight, it is barren. We got a couple games tomorrow night, though. We'll talk about them tomorrow. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Yeah, if you're that guy for the Jaguars, don't steal $22 million. Just steal a little bit at a time. You know, you don't have to steal $22 million. Eventually, you're going to get busted. Steal $22. Something. I don't know. Who knows? Coming up after the break, what did we learn on the bottom line today? More lies coming. ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300.
Give me a neutral court under, King.
Bright light, said it, gonna set my soul on fire.
ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Shout out to Steve Marcinak from the Daily Racing Forum. Got your email? I'm going to work on that for you, man. I am. I'm going to work on that. Maybe give the king a night off. But yeah, we'll work on that for you, Steve. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. What did we learn on the bottom line today? Well, we learned that when you're looking at kind of the North Carolina versus Kentucky rivalry, both sides have, you know, reasons to claim superiority. Maybe a little more North Carolina, especially in the tournament. But history tells us, especially under Hubert Davis, not a good spot for North Carolina. regardless of what you see or hear in the next couple of days, especially. We also talked about college football, where the public is kind of betting their money so far in these games. Same thing with the NFL, and some kind of tips about the Bengals. How come that line went down to 3 after a new quarterback was announced for Minnesota? That's not a good sign. And we talked about where the money's going in the bowl games, along with that dummy from Jacksonville who stole a little too much money to get noticed because he was a terrible gambler. And we also talked about the night in college basketball. Neutral court under that we love. That's it for us. We're running late. No time for foolishness. We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours. Get us out of here, King.
Everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a silver.